And we don't take that lightly. Father, prepare our hearts and prepare our minds for the word that you have for us today. Let it rivet through us and ring in our hearts and our minds. We just want to honor you, love you, and be used by you the way that you've commanded us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, worship team. God bless you all. And thank you, Jacob, for stepping in today. God bless you. So, as you all know, I had my second grandchild born. And although I don't thank you, although I don't feel much like a grandparent, it's quite amazing. The whole time we were involved with the pregnancy that was taking place, and little Roman Bishop Jr. Was brought into this world a few days ago, and it started making me think a little bit about what it would be like raising a child for the next 21 years in the world that we live in today. I don't know if I would want to do that. Those of you who are parents right now, raising little ones, stay close to them. Stay close around them. Protect them from the garbage that's out there today. Because we are living in a time where things that used to be wrong are now right. And the things that are right and acceptable should be wrong. I look around and look outside. I don't understand what I see. And it doesn't make any sense. And we brush these things off as if it's just how things are. So, please place your cell phones on vibe mode. Please turn your tablet PCs, iPads, iPhones, and Kindle Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13:13. And place your switch on your Bluetooth to download the sermon. I want to remind us to pray, committing this week into God's hands. Go ahead this week and open up your WhatsApp, your BBM, your Twitter, and your Facebook, and spend some time chatting with God's people. Please have your credit and debit cards ready, as we will now walk by and swipe the cube for your tithes and offerings. This can also, you can also log on to the church Wi-Fi using the password GiveToGod77. And ushers, please circulate the mobile card swipe machines now so that if you prefer to make electronic funds transfers, you are directed to the computers and laptops in the back of the church. And those who prefer to use their iPads are allowed to flip them open now to do so. Those who prefer telephone banking are allowed to take out their cell phones to transfer their contributions. If you don't have any of the electronic devices that I mentioned, please use the ADMs in the back of the church, which are automatic donation machines. And yes, they do have them, and I have seen them in churches, yes. Announcements, few announcements. This week's cell care group meetings shall be held on Skype and GoToMeeting.com. Following these meetings, we encourage discussion on the various Facebook group pages where the usual group chatting takes place. Please don't miss out. Also, Wednesday's Bible teachings will be held live on Skype at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please don't miss out. You can follow all of the pastors on Twitter this weekend for the counseling and prayers that you might need. God bless you and have a wonderful day. All jokes aside, that sounds a little bit like the world we're in today. Imagine church being just like that. That would be crazy. That would be crazy. But that is the world exactly what we live in. It's exactly what we have today. We're so caught up in the world and the things that we have and the stuff and the we're passionate people about our toys and our technology. I'll prove it to you. If you, everybody in here, lost their cell phone, how would you react to that? That is how I would react to it. Although everything that I have, my contacts, my families, my Bible stuff, it's all on my phone. There was a time that you could, if you needed to get a hold of somebody, remember them old answering machines, y'all? You used to have to go home from work, hit that button on the answering machine, and it would be like, oh, let's see if somebody called me today. Get my messages and write them down. You couldn't catch somebody until they wanted to be caught. Now, we have 24/7 access to everyone. I tell people now, even in ministry, I'm not a 24/7 guy. When it's time for me to go home and be husband, dad, or whoever I am, my phone might be off. It just might be off. So you, whatever it is, you might have to wait till the next day at 8 or 9 a.m. to catch me for whatever was pressing in your world. And I don't do that to be mean and insensitive. I had some very godly men in ministry tell me to make sure you balance those hats in your life. My message today is about principle or preference. So now we will turn to 1 John 2:15 through 17, where the word says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Amen. My thought is, and my question is technology contributing to the potential of a godless world? Have we gotten to the point now where we've accepted so much of the stuff and everything has become the norm that moral stuff just doesn't make sense anymore? And we just live and we just accept everything. Everything is just okay. And everything is not okay. It's not okay with God, I'm quite sure. You know, what do you prefer in your world? And what is the world that you live in today like? Well, let's look at this for a minute. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3. The word says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, having nothing to do with such people. Hello? Does this sound like today? People around us everywhere we are? Wow. Let me continue reading. They are the kind who worm their way into the homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come up with the knowledge of truth. I love that line. Always learning, but still stupid. I love that. I love that. I love that. just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are the men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in that case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. See, God is watching and will have the final say on our actions and behaviors of our sins in our final days. He's paying attention to everything. See, even though I wake up and look around and go, my Lord, where are we? What have we become? And what does this world come to? He's not fooled. He's not fooled by anyone, anything, any situation. In fact, knew it was going to happen. It's just me and who I am walking up going, God, I know you're not pleased. I know you're not happy. I know this is upsetting to you. I know that you're... And here's the thing. Imagine if in this room right now, we were the only Christians on the planet. Then it would be just up to us in this room to go out and spread the good news and proclaim the gospel. But I can tell you, all over the world, millions of Christians are serving, living, sacrificing, putting their lives on the line for Christ to do what they have to do to spread the good news. We are not alone. But yet, the world still is changing and evolving into this thing that doesn't make sense. It's amazing. God's people are out there doing what they're supposed to be doing, and we are by the millions. And it still doesn't stop the technology, still doesn't stop the change and the decline of the morality. The taking away of Christ from everything. See, I believe that because God is watching and he's paying attention, soon we will experience his wrath. And I think it, in some ways, we already get to experience some of his wrath. I'm reading a lot of scripture today because I think the scriptures really say it best. Turn with me to Romans 1:18. We're going to talk about God's wrath. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people. That's what we're talking about. A godless world right now, taking Christ out of everything. It says, who suppresses the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, I like that. For although, in other words, that's that slap. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. That seems to remind me a little bit of what I'm looking at today. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds, humans, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires, their hearts to sexual impurity, for degrading of their bodies with one another. And I underline this. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. See, and then I wrote it on the side of my notes over here because this whole paragraph is powerful. Because of that exchanging of the truth for a lie, that's where the choice came in. That's where people get to choose what they're going to allow in their lives, what they're going to accept, how they're going to be and how they're going to act. What is your preference of who you're going to be? See, so they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. I'll continue reading. Because of this, God gave them over to their shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. And then I underline this part. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossip, slanders, evil. They disobeyed their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. And although they know God's righteous decree, that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And that started making me think about our government. But they also approve of those who practice them. And I started, in my quiet time, started just praying and going, my Lord, here we are. Here it is, right here in your word. And I'm looking at that world today. Wow. Now, see, we live in an amazing time. And as knowledge and technology increases in our world, we need to become more diligent in utilizing the tools that we have to advancing the kingdom. See, as we seek to understand the times and now knowing what we know, we're reminded that the information alone and acquiring it at record pace is still not enough. We have the access and the ability to get anything, any information, any knowledge as fast as we need to get it, right at our fingertips right now. If you have a cell phone, an iPhone, or one of them fancy phones, you can download and Google right from your phone to get any information. You can look up a scripture verse. You can anything you want. You can see where to find to go get something to eat. You can go find out where the next gas station is. You can find anything you want in the palm of your hand in record-breaking time. But it doesn't replace what you get when you step into a house like this. It can't replace that. It's not the same. It is not the same. And even though if you step into this house, we can help you lead you to Christ and getting him in record-breaking time and teach you how to do that and change your life forever when you may not even need this thing anymore. If you can walk with Christ and walk with him in your life, you could almost put this thing away. If you didn't have family members that you might need to get a hold of and see about every now and then and check up on, you could probably almost get away. Here's the thing. Look, y'all. I say we get rid of all this new stuff and go back to the old school. Because this, I used to be a real tech junkie, but I'm watching what's happening with the world with this stuff. And I'm thinking, let's go back to the old school. You know, you remember them, go back to the typewriter days when you had to like sit there. Everybody remember them typewriters? You had to type and had to manually turn the thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's right. You had those, remember party lines? See, I was little with a party line. But I remember party lines, people sharing telephones that you had to turn and watch it come back when you dialed a number. Turn and watch it come back with a number. Took you a minute to make one phone call. Turn, watch it make a call. And then we had, what else do we have? Oh, what happened to families back then is when we were in old school days, families did stuff together. They hung out. There was a whole different sense of morality that existed in the family. because you got it not only from moms and dads who were still in the family, you got it from grandmoms and grandpoms. They were still there doing it, and they were telling you about what it was like when they was young, what we did, what the family structure was, the family morality was. That's lost. It's lost. Wow. See, we need to become a family again where we can put those morals and those values back into our homes. Of becoming a world of principles. We've lost our principles. We're no longer a world and a society of principles. And I know that pains the Father's heart. Turn with me to Titus 2. And as I was thinking about going back to old school, I'm thinking, you know, this is a time, you know, we all did things for the good sake of the gospel. We lived for honoring God. We lived in a time of morality. And you know what? We kept things simple. It didn't matter that someone didn't have immediate access to us on their phone and can call us whenever they're thinking about it. Because you know why? We got our messages when we got home and hit that answering machine, and that was okay. And we still got by. It was okay. We didn't need that immediacy. Children today growing up are so used to immediacy, they don't even know how to play. Right. Their immediacy is fast-paced. The games that they play, the video games and stuff that they do, all that stuff. If you tell them, y'all, I remember playing with a box, making a spaceship out of a giant, you know, somebody threw out a big box outside that had a refrigerator in it, and that became like a fort, you know, and we would do like war, and, you know, that's what we did. You know, imagination grew. We don't allow imagination today. The games think for us. They do stuff for us. They, you know, you just sit in front of it and do this. Twiddle your thumbs and make this happen. The kids don't get out and do stuff anymore. I don't understand that. And yet, they don't know how to talk to each other. We live in an area today where we can't talk to people. The saddest thing that I see is when I see parents out with their family in a restaurant. None of them talking, but all of them doing this. I'm thinking, no, put them things away. You parents have the responsibility to say, no, this is family time. Put them stupid things away. We're going to talk to one another. We're going to spend time together. I love you, and if it irritates you, tough. You'll get over it when you get older, and you'll thank me one day that we made you do this. I just don't understand that. And this is, again, this is the norm. We've gotten to the point where this is what we do. It's normal now. No, it is not normal. Titus 2 says, you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign in the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, soundness of speech that can't be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach the slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled. upright, godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior in Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Whole lot of meat there, whole lot of scripture there, but that's such a simpler way to live. Such a simpler way to live, such a simpler way to be. And yet, we want this stuff. More of it. Lots of it. Y'all, the new iPhones, was it 6? 5? The new, was 5 out now? There's 4 out now. 4 is out now? 5, is 5 out? Okay, the 6 is coming out in September. iPhone 6, just heard it yesterday, coming out in September. And I thought, seriously? Because here's what's going to happen. iPhone 6 is going to come out in September. They're going to place orders for it, for something that you want but you can't have. They're going to be back ordered on the stuff that comes out. You're not going to get it until January, probably after Christmas. And so when it comes out in January and Christmas, then they're going to have the stuff that comes out with it that is going to be messed up with it, that the first version of it is not going to work. So by the time you get the phone that you want, it's going to be about this time next year. But you got to have it. Woo! Folks standing in line, camping out. I've seen it on the TV. I don't understand it. The world, that's it. The world we live in, that's what it is. I do not get it. It will not be me. Guarantee. Realistically, all I need my phone to do is call and receive. And as long as I can make a call and receive a call, I'm really kind of good. You know, I'm really okay with that. I do like the features with the camera. I think that's kind of cool. I like that. I like that stuff. I got a little flashlight on my phone. My eyes are going bad. I'm getting old. I'm getting, you know, blind. I like the flashlight because I can't see nothing anymore. So I appreciate that too. So, but yeah, you know, all them super fancy features and all that stuff that you pay all this money that just really a waste. You know, hey, take that stuff and put it in God's house. So, I want to turn a little bit now and talk about Daniel a little bit. See, as I was looking at all this and trying to come up with some things for us to take with us. See, with the fast pace of the times and the ungodly settings all around us, the question came up to you is, how do you and I make significant decisions in this world that we live in that affect our daily lives? So what I learned is that the best way to make choices in life is to rely on the principles that are found in God's word. See, Daniel knew how to make choices based on unchanging truths of scripture. See, and although he was under tremendous pressure to live like the Babylonians, he lived by biblical principles. After conquering Jerusalem, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon selected the brightest and the most capable young Jewish men. Along with others, Daniel was trained in the culture, literature, religion, and worldview of his captors. Daniel and other young men knew how to make righteous choices even in godly settings. So, in your world, let's talk a little about principle versus preference. Principle, what is principle? Well, let's define that. Principle is a fixed or predetermined mode of conduct or a moral rule based on the Word of God. As Christians, we should try to live by convictions that are grounded in the Word of God. You ever hear people talking about, well, what are you convicted about? Well, have your convictions be grounded in His Word. Preference. What's preference? Well, preference is a moral choice and I underline choice, based on the likes and dislikes of whatever seems best in the moment. A person who operates on this basis asks, what's going to make me feel good, please me, honor me, or benefit me? It's the what's in it for me or what do I get out of it syndrome. Y'all know anybody like that? Now, look at Daniel's examples. In Daniel 1:1 through 16, it talks about rather than eat non-kosher food, Daniel asked if he and his friends could only eat vegetables and drink water. See, God honored them for keeping their convictions, and Daniel and his friends ended up looking healthier than other men, because they were convicted to do what they thought was right, and they didn't make compromises. We're going to talk about compromises in a minute. Also, when prayer was outlawed, Daniel continued to kneel daily before the Lord. Although he was arrested and thrown into a pit of lions, God spared his life. Daniel was restored to the position of authority and served as a leader for approximately 70 years under 4 different kings. If you are told you cannot pray to God, and you are already in a place where your environment is 100% completely controlled, and if you do pray, because it's outlawed against the law and you could be killed for doing it, would you still go to your knees and pray? I would, because here's the thing. If you kill me, I'm going home. So, if that's the worst you got, woohoo, hey, come on, let's go with it. I'm cool. Hey, you're not scaring me with that one, King. Come on. You got to do something worse than that. That's not going to do it. It's not going to get it. Areas of principles. Let's look at some areas of principle. See, who are you in this world today, and what is it that you stand for? See, as Christians, our choices should be guided by our core beliefs. And what do I mean by core beliefs? Christians. Core beliefs. Well, maybe that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. That's a core belief. How about the Bible is the inspired Word of God and is the infallible truth? How about our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? That is a core belief. How about, as it says in Hebrews 13:5, money is not a god. Wow. And don't get me wrong. Money is important to what we do. It's very necessary for even what we do in ministry. But we don't want to put so much emphasis on money or having money that it stops us or impedes our performances. Where it just gets in the way of what we think we gotta have in order to do what we need to do. No, you start down your path and doing what the Lord calls you to do, and He'll provide what you need. That's how it works. God, if you just give me this, I'll do it. Nope. Lord, if you just take care of this finances, do this stuff, I'm gonna do it. Nope. I promise, Lord, if you just give me just that, nope. Nope, that's not it. That's not how it works. It's not going to work that way. God says, son, daughter, I need you to do. And you go, yes, sir. And that's it. Yes, Lord, I'm gone. Whatever you need, I'm doing it. I'm going to take care of it. I don't have no money. May not even have no shoes. I can't even walk. But you tell me walk, I'm gone. Yep. It. I'm there. Because you know what? Along the way, if you don't have no shoes, I guarantee you somebody's going to come in your path and go, brother, you don't have no shoes. Come on, let me get you some shoes. I guarantee you that's how it works. He's going to put somebody in your path to take care of what you need. Another principle or a core belief: the proper place for sexual relations is in a marriage. Amen. And here in New Orleans, sexual stuff is everywhere. You don't even have to look hard for it. You can walk down many streets. It's not just the French Quarter. When I went to the training that I did for the human trafficking thing, I was amazed at the stuff that I saw and how accessible stuff was online. I didn't even know we had this thing called Backpage. It's like a back door to the online stuff that, like, you can Google stuff and find information out. What is a behind the scenes search engine that's like, it must be the devil search engine. I don't know. It's like, it's crazy. I didn't even know this thing existed. And you could go back there and all of this stuff for all these young girls and even young boys, stuff that was out there. It was just horrible stuff. I couldn't believe it. But it's accessible right here. Right here, this community. So when we live, what happens to, when we live by preference instead of principle? See, people who live by preference are people who fail to align their lives with biblical principles. And why would somebody do that? Why would somebody want to live their lives outside of biblical principles? Well, because the fear of rejection. People are afraid that if they go against the crowd, others may not like or accept them. Maybe because of greed. Some are willing to be dishonest or unkind to make more money or to get the promotion that they seek. You know, and isn't that also what we just read in Titus 2 and Romans 1? We just talked about that, the kind of world we live in today and the people around. How about compromise? See, here's the thing that gets me. Compromise tends to get many people, even Christians, in a huge amount of trouble. Because compromise is the rationalizing of sin, and that leads to the quick route of the bondage of it. We rationalize things and can say, oh, well, you know, I only did this because of this, or I only act this way because of this, or we try to justify things. We make compromises in our lives for things that we know we should not be compromising on. So even in today's changing high-tech world, we must be people who live by principle. See, Daniel and his friends were willing to die rather than to worship a false god. We should have the same commitment to obeying God. Sometimes he will rescue you. Other times, he will walk with you through your difficulty or your persecution. In today's world, how can you become a person of principle and conviction? Well, I'm going to tell you how you can become that person. I'm going to give you five ways. Being a person of principle and conviction and not living by preference. The first way is to, number one, live for a cause greater than yourself. In other words, live for Christ and his kingdom. Start there. Start at that place. Start at that point. Live for Christ and his kingdom, and make that be a conviction on your heart. Number two, know what you believe. See, don't even consider choices that are forbidden by God's word. Get rid of the compromise. Know what you believe and stand firm in that. Number three, expect conflict. And this is huge. Put a circle around expecting conflict. Because if you live by godly principles, not everyone will understand you and what you're doing. In fact, your high standards may make others so uncomfortable that they may reject you. Yes, family members too. Men in your lives may not get it. And it's not that they think that you think you're better than they are. The problem is you've raised the bar for yourself on how you're going to live and no longer making compromises, and they have a hard time being around that bar being so high. It makes them uncomfortable. But amen, keep raising that bar. Because if it causes your family members to be uncomfortable, let them be so uncomfortable that they're stirred, shaken, rattled, and slapped to the point by that Holy Spirit, it causes them to wake up. And when they come to their senses, maybe they will accept Christ and live the way they're supposed to live. Number four, obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. See, decide to follow His direction without regard of the results. Just be obedient. He is with you no matter what happens. He says do, you do. He says go, you go. He says, son, daughter, I need. You say, yes, Lord, I hear you, I'm there. But if you're not close to Him and don't have His word in you, you may not know His voice. If you're making compromises, you're going to have a difficulty hearing His voice. Don't make compromises. Number five, even in this high-tech, fast-paced, changing world, remember our Lord is sovereign. He absolutely is in control of everything that happens in this world. We don't have to worry and stress about nothing. Because He's in control of it all. He has it all. He's got it all. He's in control. We don't have to worry and stress. No anxiety, no fear, no depression. No. We don't have to worry about none of that. Let it all go. Let Him have it. Just let Him deal with it. Just say, you know what, God? Woo, yours. Can't handle it. Don't want it. So glad you're there to take this from me. Because I just got to trust you and I'm good. We're going to do this. So, principle or preference? Which of these two words best describes how you might be living right now? Are you living by principle or are you living by preference? Are you in the world? If you're in the world, we heard the word talk about all those things you need to get out of. Take that out of you. See, my prayer is that you will choose to live your life based on the unchanging truths found in God's word. That's what we're supposed to be doing, and that's who we are called to do. And we get all of the tools right here. All of the answers are right here. Everything that we need, no matter what you're going through, there's an answer right here. I guarantee you. And if you don't believe me, just come up and say, I'm going through this. I'll be like, God got an answer for that. See, I'm going through this. I'll be like, you know what? Hold on. God's got an answer for that. Hold on. But you don't understand. Hold on. God's got an answer for that. In fact, I even got this. I'm going to show this to you. This is the coolest thing. I wasn't planning on doing this. I even have this. For every illness that you might think that you have, every sickness, everything, there is a scripture verse that goes right along with it that can talk about how you can heal. Well, that's not my healing room. It's this one. My fault. Oh, there's my stuff. There it goes. This one. How to minister to specific diseases, the root causes of the disease, the scripture verses that go along with curing those diseases, the medical information, and the ministry tools for every disease and illness. Let me just give you a for instance. Drug addiction, first one. Here it is. If you're a person here today suffering from drug addiction, it says the root cause, poor self-image with a need to be involved in and fulfilled. Self-hatred, self-bitterness, guilt, rebellion, rejection, and abandonment. The scripture associated with this is John 8:36. It says, if the Son makes you free, then you shall be free indeed. It talks about Hebrews 4:15-16. For we have the high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. See, addictions are rooted in the need to be loved and could involve an over and under release of dopamine that affects the pleasures and the neurotransmitters of the human body. So now a person wants to be set free. We lead them to prayer over these things with these scripture verses, and we pray over them. And to be honest, that's what we do here on Wednesday nights. It's so powerful, Lord. The Lord is just doing what he's doing. And last Wednesday, we had to stay late, y'all. We had to stay late, y'all, because we were healing for so many people, praying over so many people. House of prayer normally is done at 9. We had to go a half hour later. Amen. See, when we live in a world that's all messed up all around us and all this stuff that's taking place all around us and we got technology this and that and fast-paced this and fast-paced that, we get so overloaded with stuff. It affects our body. It affects who we are. It affects how we live. It affects how we are to one another. That is not what God wants for us. See, obeying him always results in internal peace and joy, regardless of the external circumstances. So we must surrender our preferences to God and let him show you how to live by his holy, unchanging principles. Let's pray. Worship team, come on up. Jesus. Now, I don't know where you might be or where you are, but you need to be walking and practicing principles, living by godly principles. And although we all have a preference, we all have the option to have a choice. My prayer is that you choose godly principles and that be your choice. You choose godly living and a godly way of life. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We're going to worship and then we're going to close in prayer.